wonderful crowd here. January 8th, the second Sunday of our year. And those of you that are visiting with us, I want to first of all say thank you for being here. You're our guest of honor, and I appreciate you coming to worship with us, and our friends that are here with us. Thank you for coming, and I hope that the service will be an encouragement and a blessing to you, and look forward to getting to know you if I haven't met you already. I am glad that we did survive that snowstorm. We got through it, didn't we? And I have to admit, I was one of those, and it's just something weird. I know we get people like me get picked on, all right? But I just had to do it. I'm a boy from South Carolina. I had to do it. Even on Thursday, I went and got me some bread and milk, and I couldn't stand it. I had to do it. I said, "Honey, we got bread." She says, "Well, we do have a loaf in the freezer." I said, "Keep it in there. I want to buy a loaf." Amen. But it was good. It was funny just watching it, old folks from the South. And it was even worse for me this time, I think. I honestly do. Because remember, I spent those 3 years in the Sahara and more. You didn't even think about snow. And then, of course, they talk about this snowstorm coming. Well, I'm getting excited. And I got to learn to tone down a little bit and not get so worked up over some snow. Of course, my wife just laughs at me being from Minnesota. But it's good fun, and I'm glad didn't hear of any accidents or anything, because I know there were some roads that did get some ice, and it was bad in some areas, and thankful that everybody's here safe. And I do hope we get a good snow this year, though. Y'all don't hold that against me, okay? But I do. I'm hoping for a good, beautiful snow at some point. What's that? Oh, okay. Well, we'll see who gets through. Amen. All right, we better move right along, okay? We'll be in the book of Numbers this morning. All right, the book of Numbers. Amen. It's all right to laugh in church. Amen. Praise the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Praise God. And so good to see everybody. Thank you for those that were praying for me, with the passing of a family member, my uncle. And many of you let me know you're praying, and I know you were praying even if you didn't say anything. But thank you for that. I believe the Lord helped us, and the family seemed to be comforted, and just the gospel was given. So we'll pray that the seed of God's Word will find its way in hearts and bring forth fruit for His glory. And thank the Lord for that. Well, we're going to be in Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. All right, Numbers 13. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 16. Now, I'll go ahead and say this. I normally don't read this much scripture with my messages, but I just felt like the Lord wanted me to this morning. So it will be somewhat of a lengthy passage, but just bear with me. Read along with me in your hearts and allow the Word of God to speak to you even as we read. I'll begin reading in verse number 16. The Bible says, "These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea the son of Nun, Jehoshua. And it says here, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be in, what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring up the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman and she, excuse me for butchering any of these words, but Sheshiah and Talmiah and the children of Anak were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came to the brook of Eshcol, and cut down thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, And get this, and they bear it between two upon a staff. And they bought of the pomegranates, of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eschol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people, the people, be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. And chapter 14 says, And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. Envision that, church. And all the children of Israel murmured. They complained against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt! Or would God we had died in the wilderness! And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and that our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, we which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Verse 7 says, And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Let's pray together. Father, Almighty God, I do pray that You would take this passage of Scripture and that You would use it in the hearts of Your people this morning. Lord, may we learn from these people, from both sides, from both perspectives. God, would You help us to learn, Lord, how we might be better servants of the Most High God, and that, Lord, that we might better accomplish the things You have for our church, the things that You have for our families, the things that You have for us individually. Oh, God, do what I cannot, and that is change hearts. In Jesus' precious, holy name I pray. Amen. Helen Keller said it so clearly, the most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but has no vision. What a sad place to be when we can see but yet we fail to see what God has for us. And I believe, brothers and sisters and folks here at Crooked Creek this morning, I believe we have witnessed here and read here an account of two perspectives on vision. I see folks that have a vision of carnality. Basically, a vision of comfort. A vision of unchanging. A vision that that goes nowhere. But then I also see another type of vision, and that is, of course, we are familiar with Joshua and Caleb, that had a vision of doing something awesome for God. Joshua and Caleb had not a vision for maintaining. There's a big difference. They had not a vision for maintaining, but what did they have? They had a vision to go beyond themselves. And today being Vision Day, and the message this morning will build up to the message tonight, because this morning I'm going to talk about the subject of vision. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? How do I play into having a vision as a church and as an individual? What does it look like? Well, I want us to say this straightforward. If we want to accomplish God's will for our church, it is going to require vision that moves beyond ourselves. It simply means, church, we're going to have to be willing to step out of the comfort zone. And tonight I'm going to be talking about some things that are going to imply that. But in a good way, and for a good reason, I should say. Listen, what kind of vision am I speaking of this morning and that we're going to be seeing in the Scriptures here? First of all, let me say what it is not. I am not talking about prophetic vision, okay? You know, we've been studying through the book of Daniel, and boy, dozens of times we see that the word vision is used. And we see throughout the prophets, of course, that word vision, and that is a prophetic vision. That is a vision that God gives specifically, and it is revelation, things that will come to pass that God gives through the prophets, and it's for sure. Now, I'm not talking about prophetic vision here. I want to clarify that. All the extra biblical things that are been for the Bible, it's finished. We don't need any more revelation, extra biblical revelation. We have the canon, it's complete. And God gives no more visions in that way. But He is still giving visions to His people, to pastors, and to churches that are trying to accomplish something great for God. Can I say this? This vision that I'm talking about, it's not having an inside track on the future. What do you say? What do you mean by that? I mean, simply, listen, when we talk about vision as a church, we're going to go in a direction. We're going to shoot towards some goals. And we have to trust the sovereignty of God to work those out as He sees fit. But we have to follow a direction that He gives us as a church. And as your pastor, I've been praying and seeking God about the vision I'm going to give you tonight for our church in the coming year. And then what I want to tell you, it's simply a direction that I believe the Lord wants us to go in the coming year. Some goals that I believe He would have us set as a church to accomplish for His glory. You know, it is simply following a God-given burden and direction that will help us better fulfill the will of God for our church. Hey, listen, can I say something? When we talk about an individual, you show me an individual that has no desire for change, I will show you an individual who does not care. The same thing goes for a church. Show me a church that has no desire to change, to be conformed into what God wants them to be. And their efforts of fulfilling the Great Commission and being used greatly of God, I will show you a church that does not care. And God help us not to be a church that doesn't care, but that welcomes change, that honors Jesus Christ, that welcomes change, that makes us more effective for the glory of God. That, my friend, I believe is so important. I like what Paul Chappell stated about spiritual vision. He says, spiritual vision is simply viewing my life or my ministry, or we could say it like this, viewing my life or the life of this church through the lens of God's Word. Biblical vision is always founded on this. We can't go forward unless we go forward standing strongly upon the Word of God. And I believe that these two men, Joshua and Caleb, had some serious vision for the promised land. It's obvious. It just stands out. And I just want to share some things with you this morning, church, that I think we can learn from them. You see, God's purpose in sending these men to search out the land was not to consider entry. It wasn't to go in and to ponder whether or not this be the will of God. But no, it was not to go in and just consider. It was to go in and conquer. He was sending these group of men to go in to prepare for entry, to go in and get a vision. As Moses said, check out the buildings, check out the people, check out the land, check out everything. Let God give you that vision as you're entering in. And boy, I want to tell you, there was two that came back with some serious biblical vision. And there were another 10 that came back with some serious carnal vision. And we're going to see the difference here. Listen, to give them a vision of the great things that God has in store for them. Listen, that's what it is. I don't believe for a moment in my heart that there are people in this church that would want Crooked Creek to be no more effective for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't believe that. But if we're not careful, we'll show that in practice. Not being willing to step out by faith and do more for the Lord. And ask God to show us how we too can change and be used more greatly for the Lord. As I said, I see two types of people in this passage. I see biblical vision and I see carnal vision. I'm just going to go through these and be ready to look in your Bibles there. I may go through these sort of quickly, but it will be somewhat of an overview. But let's just look at them together. Number one, I want us to see biblical vision sees opportunities. Opportunities. Now, that's what I believe Joshua and Caleb saw. They saw the opportunities that were there before them. Look there in your Bible. And look what verse 30 says. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." And in verse 7, we go on down there and see, and they spake into, in chapter 14, verse 7, and they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land." They saw grapes. Grapes larger than they'd ever seen before. Some of the most fruitful vines you've ever laid eyes on. And they saw that as, look, that's one of the things they noticed. And they noticed the milk and honey. The rivers flowing with milk and honey. They saw the possibilities. They saw the opportunities. You know, that's what I believe we have to see to have biblical vision. We've got to see the opportunities that are out there. God's got opportunities for us to make a difference, an eternal difference. Sees opportunities. But you know, also I see here with these opportunities, we'll talk more about here in a minute. But they also, you've got to remember, they saw the opportunities, and so did the carnal crowd. Look there with me in verse 26 of chapter 13. It says, "And they went and came to Moses and Aaron, and they reported," okay, "and brought back word," it says, "and all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land." So it's not that the carnal vision people, it's not that they didn't see the possibilities. It's not that they didn't see what was lying before them and what God was going to bless them, because we see that. Because they all told them, "We came into a land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." They saw the possibilities, but they refused to embrace. That's where the loss of vision came into place. And that's what my second point is. Biblical vision sees opportunities, but carnal vision sees difficulties. You know, again, I'm not being critical of those that are a realist, all right? Because I know that is there is a such thing. I'm more of the optimist, all right, side of things. And I appreciate somebody that always gives a healthy balance. There's nothing wrong with that. But you got to understand there is a difference between being a realist and a pessimist. And that is something that you have to have the balance of the Holy Spirit that will give. But what I see here is not them just being realists, because yes, they're realists when they notice all that's there, but then they start talking about how it's not possible. They see the difficulties. Look at verse 28 of chapter 13. It says, "Nevertheless, the people," what, church? "Be strong, that dwell in the land." And what else? "And the cities are" what? "And very..." "And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." You see, they saw the difficulties. The people were strong. The cities were walled very great. The sons of Anak, the giants. Can I tell you something? A person that has a biblical vision, and I guess you could, if I gave this message a title, this might would be it, is simply this. Biblical vision sees the grapes, but they also see the giants. And they want to embrace them both. The giants. Joshua and Caleb saw the giants. They saw the walled cities. They were all witnessing the same thing. But they said, "We're going to go. Because what God is sending us to do and where He's sending us to go, look, we see the grapes. We see the possibilities. Hey, don't worry about the giants. God's going to take care of the giants." And that's what we'll see here. It's this carnal vision does not take in consideration that there are battles to be faced in order to have blessings. Listen, a person with a carnal vision, can I just say it like this? They want the blessings without the battles. They don't want to fight. They don't want to get there and get tangled up with the flesh and get tangled up with Satan. And as we talked about the spiritual armor and to fight with the whole armor of God, they think of things of insurmountable. They think of things of, no, we just can't do it. There's a carnal vision that just sees only the difficulties. You know, can I say this? You know, biblical vision, it includes risk. It does. There is a such thing as risk in the Word of God. Hold your place there and go over to the book of Philippians with me. Hold your place there in Numbers. In Philippians chapter number 2. Hold your place in Numbers. There, Philippians chapter number 2, we see Paul talking about Epaphroditus, a servant of the Lord. And look, listen to this description. It says here in verse number 30, it says, "Because for the work of Christ," Philippians chapter 2, verse 30, "because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death." Now, look at this next phrase. "Not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." Do you know what that word there includes? Do you know what that "not regarding his life" simply means? It means setting aside self and comfort and exposing yourself to the elements. Exposing yourself to the difficulties. Realizing there is a fight at hand. And it's not going to come easy. And there's that risk involved. Is it a risk of failure? No, I'll tell you this. No, when we trust God, we walk by faith. We know God will not fail us. We know that. But what it does include, it includes there's going to be some battles. There's going to be some injuries. As Paul talked about in his ministry, he bore the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ because of persecution. Because of those, the fights that he did. Listen, that's why I'm afraid most people won't stand up. That's why I'm afraid that a lot of teenagers will not stand up for Christ, because they're afraid of the battle. They're afraid to fight for Christ and take up the whole armor of God and make a difference. But it ain't just teenagers, dear folks. It's all God's people. We need to consider that we are all ready to fight for the Lord. That it is going to be some injuries involved. And man, there's going to be times where we feel like, I'm just going to be honest here, it feels like we get put back on our backside. There's going to be times where we fail because of our flesh. But I want to tell you something that should not deter from us having biblical vision and realizing that, listen, we can step out and trust God and let God have His will and way. Can I say it like this? Biblical vision doesn't avoid difficulty. It embraces it as part of the package. Listen, if we want to go beyond ourselves in this church, if we want to accomplish great things for God in this church, we have got to go beyond ourselves. We have got to get out of our comfort zone. We have got to be willing to embrace the difficulties that lie before us. Not avoid them. Not run from them. Not cower to them. Because that's what Satan would want to do. He'd say, look at you. You can't overcome those giants. You can't overcome those walled cities. Who do you think you are? Do you realize how thick those walls are? Do you realize the people you're trying to reach and the people you're trying to minister? Do you realize how hard their hearts are? Do you realize the county you're in? Do you realize all the churches that are around you? Do you see where I'm going? But that has no significance in doing what God wants us to do. We're going to do it. We're going to do it because we're going to have biblical vision. We're not going to focus on the difficulties, the giants that lie ahead. Because there are. They are. But I'm just going to look straight past those giants, not ignore them, but I'm going to see the grapes. I'm going to see the grapes. I'm going to see the milk and the honey that's flowing that God has in store. I'm going to, you know what I see, the milk and honey? Listen, you know what I see, church? I see more souls being saved, coming in and sitting in these pews. Families coming in and being mended by the gospel. Lives, families, husbands and wives coming together and marriages being restored. Hey, that's what I'm seeing, folks. I'm seeing the milk and honey. I'm seeing missionaries being called out of this church. Oh, the hand of the Holy Spirit coming upon our young people and them standing up and saying, I'm going to live for God. I'm seeing our youth group grow. I'm seeing our buildings expand. I'm seeing us have a more of an impact for Jesus Christ. Because that's what it's all about. It's not about us. It's about Him and it's about others. That's why the church is here. It's not here to take up space. It's here to make an impact for Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we are not going to be content as a church to maintain. We're going to press forward and do more for Jesus Christ. There's going to be some pain in the process. There's going to be some battles in the process. There are going to be giants to face. There are going to be walls to break through. But I'm telling you, we're depending upon the Lord. We are depending upon Him. Because we try to go through in our own flesh, we've already failed. I want us to see biblical vision. Also, number three, sees victories. Sees victories. Listen to what he said in verse 30. He says, we are well over to overcome. Joshua and Caleb already saw that the victory was theirs. They just had to go and claim it. Listen to what they said about this crowd that they were complaining about. This crowd that they were in fear of. Look what that Joshua and Caleb say and back in our passage, verse 9. Look at chapter 14, verse 9. So interesting. It says here that only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. And what? Look what that next statement. Their defense is departed from them. Their defense. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. Victory was seen in biblical faith. And when we're going forward in this coming year of 2017, church, I want to say we need to have biblical vision that there are great victories ahead. Go ahead and embrace them. Go ahead and celebrate them. Because as we do what the Lord wants us to do, there will be great victories. And the people that are against us, whether whoever it be, Satan, the flesh,
the world, anybody against us, the Lord says their power will be departed from them. I'm thankful for that. They said they are bread for us. Listen, they saw the victories. They saw the opposition as an opportunity. And they realized that the battle is the Lord's. Hold your place there again in Numbers and go over and look with me in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, just there in chapter 1. Hold your place there in Numbers. In Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 30. Listen to what the Word of God says. Verse 29, "Then said I unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them." This is what the Lord's message was to them, to the children of Israel, and to the men that were leaders. "The Lord your God, which goeth before you," what does the next phrase say, church? "He shall fight for you, according to all that He did for you in Egypt before your eyes." Not only did He fight for you, but He guided you. Look at verse 31. "And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee," listen to this language, "as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went until you came unto this place." Listen, great victories realize that the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. We do go forward. And we do go forward in faith, but we understand that these battles that are before us, we let God fight them. And I feel like sometimes we can get to a dangerous place when we don't discern the difference when we try to fight them. And when we try to fight them, guess what? We fall on our face every single time. I'm praying that we'll let the Lord fight our battles. That we'll go forth in faith, trusting in Him to fight through us. But number four, we see biblical vision sees opportunities. Carnal vision sees difficulties. Biblical vision sees victories. The victory's won. But then carnal vision sees defeat. Look at verse 31 back in our passage. Verse 31 of chapter 13. It says here, "But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Hey, that's why any coach worth his salt, football, whatever, because sometimes even college football, Division I, even so, you'll have these teams that, like Alabama, for instance, they'll pay this school millions of dollars. Some rinky-dink school, Miss Sally's Sunday school class coming to play football against them, just so they can get a bunch of money and just sort of, just it's usually a home game, things of that nature. Well, even a little coach like that, even if it's little Sally's college football team here comes, guess what? That coach in there, even if he's worth his salt, he's not going to go in there and say, "Now look, guys, I know you're probably going to lose this game, but you go out there and play your best." No, sir. No, sir. As a coach, he would say, "No, listen, you guys go out here and play your best because there is an opportunity for you to win. There is the possibility of you overcoming this enemy." And there's that sense of telling his team that, look, you go out there and you give it your all. You go out there and you give it to you. Don't you think about defeat before you even get out there? If you go out there thinking, "Hey, we're going to lose, might as well just call it." No, that would not fly. No, you don't go in with the idea of defeat. And where we're going into this year, don't think for a minute that you're already thinking about defeat, how we're going to lose. You know, they are stronger. They said we are as grasshoppers. I've always found that comical and interesting. But that's what they said in verse 33 of 13. They said, look, we're as grasshoppers before those giants. Can I ask you something? Let's make this personal. Everyone here, I want you to envision what in your life, what is making you? What giant in your life that is keeping you from growing in Christ and keeping you from having faith in God and is a constant discouragement to you? What is making you feel like a grasshopper? Because every one of us have those giants in our life where if we really focus on them, we get real small and they make us feel like grasshoppers. And then we get intimidated, we get fearful, and then guess what? We live in defeat. But God is saying, like, have the spirit of Joshua and Caleb. Do not look at those giants and focus on those giants about what you can do with them. You let compare them with the God of heaven. Compare your giants with the God of heaven. I guarantee you, every time you match them up, God is greater. And God can overcome them. And there are some things I'm sure you feel like giants in your life right now. Listen, there are some giants that we will face, I know, in the coming year as a church. But God is greater than any of the giants we will face. They say we'll fall by the sword in chapter 14, verse 3. In Deuteronomy 1:27, they say they'll destroy us. We're done. But oh, like I said, the carnal man says, I want the blessing without the battles. And church, my exhortation to you in this point is, let's embrace the battles too. Let's not run from them. Let's not cower to them. Let's realize that we have a God that will see us through. Can I say this in closing? My last 2 points here. Biblical vision sees the motive for moving forward. Because here, like I said, what is a biblical vision without the Bible? It holds no ground. But we move forward for Christ in our church to do more for Him. Listen to what, look at there in verse number 9 of chapter 14. Listen to what they says. Listen to what the exhortation was from Joshua and Caleb. It says here, only rebel not ye against the Lord. What was the motivation? What was the motivation for going into the land? The main motivation, folks, was not the grapes. It was a motivation. It was something they looked forward to. It wasn't the giants. It wasn't the new land. Their motivation was the Lord. The Lord God. That was what motivated them to move forward. And if we're going to have a biblical vision, we're going to do it because God wants us to. That God wants us to take His Word and stand upon it. The Great Commission. Growing in our love for each other. Growing in our love for lost souls around us. Reaching the community. Reaching the drug addicts. Reaching the prostitutions. Reaching all those around us, no matter what background they come from. Reaching all. Listen, you know what that's going to inquire, folks? That's going to inquire us stepping out of our comfort zones. Is that something we're willing to do? Is that something we just see, no, those giants right there, that's somebody else's battle. That's not for us. Let's just maintain. That is a carnal vision. That is not a biblical vision. The last time I remember reading in the Word of God, how many times Jesus told us to go, 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 get them, get them, get them. Preach my love to them. Go in grace. Go in compassion. Go in mercy. Go in love. Give them my Word. Give them the Gospel. That right there is what a biblical vision consists of. And that's what will help us move forward. And not only was the Lord the motive, but also the very fact that, look what else He says there in that same verse. He says in verse 9, rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, for their defense is departed from them. And get this, and the Lord is what? With us. What a motivation moving forward to accomplish great things for God. Hey, I don't know about y'all, but I do not want to be the same that I am today, 10 years from now. And what do you mean by the same? I want to grow. I want to be changed.
I want God to deal with me, and I'm praying that God would deal with our church and get us out of our shells and get us out of our ruts and extend us to areas we've never even been before. There goes that mic.
Oh, God, I want biblical vision. I pray that you, as a church, will go with me. I pray that you'll not get behind me. You'll get beside me. And that we'll go forward and see God do things that we've never seen Him do before. Not because of how great we are, but because how great He is. Joshua and Caleb, they saw those giants. But they matched them up with the God of heaven. And they said, we're going to move forward. But let me warn us, church. A carnal vision sees the motive for staying. Saying, no, this is the way we've always done it. This is the way we're going to keep it. Even if it means us not making any impact for Jesus Christ. That, my friend, is nothing less than pure carnality. Pure carnality. When we are not willing to make a difference and make some changes in our hearts and our view and our vision for the sake of winning more for the God of heaven. Not compromising our convictions upon the Word of God, but being willing to step out of our comfort zone in areas we've never even been before. You know what they said, church? You know what they said? It's just like us. We have the same nature, don't we? They said, Egypt is better. What does that mean to y'all? When you hear that term, Egypt is better. That is what they were saying. They would rather, listen, they would rather be safe in slavery, bondage, being in a place of being totally ineffective. They would rather be in that place in their life than fight some real battles with the power of God on their life. They were afraid. Can I just say this? Listen, I'm not trying to be mean. But you know what? You know what carnal people are? That are saved, people that are saved, but yet they're carnal. Listen, I'm trying to be kind, but I'm being dead serious. They are wimps. They're wimps. They're afraid to man up and say, listen, we got a battle that's before us. We don't need to go back to Egypt. We don't need to be in bondage. We need to stand out and move forward. Hey, you know what was in Egypt? It was slavery. It was bondage. Oh, you know what they wanted? They wanted comfort over conquering. That's what they wanted. And this is what vision is, church. Vision is placing aside my comfort in order to conquer. Placing aside my comfort in order to conquer. You know, I couldn't help but think of people of vision when I was studying for this message. And I want to tell you, I came across a lot of people, a lot of leaders through our history that had just been had awesome vision, just incredible, and what it did to change the world, to impact the world. One of the guys that I came across that was fascinating, I know Brother Weatherly, he's done some study on this too, and some of you may have too, but know much more, but one of the guys that I thought had some serious vision, and that was the man that discovered our country, Christopher Columbus. That was a man that had some vision. When he came over here and landed in 1492, listen, church, almost everybody in the world was against him and what he was saying. There was even word that, hey, listen, what are you thinking, you moron? Don't you know that the world is flat? The earth? Don't you know? You're going to fall off the edge. Critics. No, you can't do that. There's too many elements. The storms, and oh, he faced them. Great storms, starvation, literally. People against him. Man, the giants that he faced in coming to this country. But that man, you cannot remove from him, had vision. And aren't you glad he did? He had vision to reach a place that was beyond himself. That was, to everybody else in the world, in that area, a lot of them, no, that's not possible. You'll never get to where you're going. But I want to say here this morning, I believe that we as a church, we will go beyond ourselves. And we will do more than we've ever done before. Not because of our power, but because of God's power. Can I say this? A person who cannot see the ultimate becomes a slave to the immediate. A person who cannot see the ultimate goal and doing more for Christ and the big picture, they are simply a slave to the immediate. This is the way we've always been. This is what we'll always do. And they don't move forward. Can I say this in closing, this definition? Seeing the possibilities that God has in store for us, that's what vision is. Seeing the possibilities that God has in store for those that will walk by faith in obedience to His Word. I want to tell you, church, I'm looking forward to tonight. I'm going to be talking about some grapes tonight. I'm going to be talking about some milk. I'm going to be talking about some honey. But I'm also going to be talking about some giants. But we're going forward together. And by God's grace, we're going to covet together that we will have the Spirit and that we will have the vision of Joshua and Caleb. That we are going to move forward and we're going to have biblical vision that is based upon faith in God's precious holy Word. Let's pray. Father, I tried to convey my heart this morning. I tried to convey, Lord, that which You've placed upon my heart. And I pray, Lord, that it was received in the Spirit that it was given, Lord. In the Spirit of grace and hope. Great opportunities. Lord, would You help us to have biblical vision moving forward in 2017. Lord, I know I can already think in my analytical mind in some ways in planning and thinking, Lord, I've already been thinking about some of the giants that are there. And God, would You protect us from focusing on the giants, from focusing on how thick the fortified cities are, the walls. Oh God, I'm praying that You would do a mighty work of revival in our church today and in the days ahead. Oh God, change us. Make us into better, more effective servants for the Most High God. And Lord, I pray this with all the sincerity of my heart. Do everything, oh God, it takes to get us there. Lord, would You bless now in our invitation time and in the service that will be coming later this evening. Lord, we ask Your special blessings. In Jesus' name I pray.